Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. From the Old Testament reading for today, Isaiah 43, the following words: Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. These are the words on which we want to build our meditation here this morning, my dear brother and sister. Outside my office door, there is in the garden a stone, a slab of granite, in which some good soul engraved the words, "Fear not, I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine." It happens to be my confirmation verse, Isaiah 43:1. Every day when I go there, when I come into the office, I see that. And I'm reminded that there is no obstacle that the Lord and I together cannot solve this day. Because the Lord, who is Almighty, talks to me and says, "Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name." And this text is very timely at the beginning of a new year, where we will face 12 months of unknown activities. We don't know what will happen. We don't know even one day ahead. We have a guess, but what will actually happen, only the Lord knows. But that's good enough for me. It is good enough for you too. If the Lord knows what will happen, you are fine. He'll take care of you. You have nothing to fear. He made each one of us a member of His family when He called us by name through holy baptism. And from that day on, the Lord has watched over us, has sustained us, forgiven us, healed us, and directed us, and enabled us to do a lot of beautiful things. The contest here is not so pretty. It's Israel in Babylon. They have been taken as captives of Nebuchadnezzar. He had destroyed Jerusalem. He had plundered the city. He had given some people away as slaves to his king, friends, and neighbors. And in Babylon, the Israelites had nothing going for themselves. They had no king, no court, no army. They could not hold any property. They couldn't even speak Hebrew in public. They were not even allowed to use their own names. So Belteshazzar became Daniel, and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah became Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were even given new names. Can you imagine that? So they were sad under that rule. But what is the reason for them being there? What happened that they had to leave Jerusalem and go to Babylon? Their own sin. They disobeyed God. God said, "Have nothing to do with the land, the gods of the land here. These are pagan gods that cannot do anything for you. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt with a strong hand and an outstretched arm." They didn't believe him. They believed in the gods of the land, in Baal and Ashtoreth, for security, just in case God would fail. God didn't fail when he defeated Pharaoh. God didn't fail when the towers and the walls of Jericho caved in. God didn't fail against Moab and Ammon when they were breathing down the necks of the Israelites and ready to destroy them. And King Jehoshaphat was in a tizzy, and a young man, a poet, wrote Psalm 46. "God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble." Not anybody else, but God is. "Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the midst of the sea." Three big concepts this kid put in one sentence of his poem: the earth, the mountain, and the sea. Yes, God sustains us through the earth. The earth gives us food and water. But if the earth fails, God, who made the earth, says to us, I have other ways to sustain you. So don't be afraid. And so during that night, Moab was attacked by another army. Thinking that they were the Israelites, they fought fiercely. It was the Moabites who attacked them because they thought Ammon was Israel. And so they defeated each other. In the morning, they left. That's how God fights for Israel. And yet they did not believe him. For security, they went with other gods. And God gave them their wish. When Nebuchadnezzar and his army came to assault Jerusalem, God let the gods in whom they had believed do the protecting. And those gods did not protect. There was no evidence that any god had moved a single finger in their defense, because these gods were wood and stone, and wood and stone don't move. They are powerless. They are man-made objects. From time immemorial, people have been creating their own gods in their own image. If I can't understand God, then he is not God. God is greater than my understanding, and my God says that to me. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways greater than your ways. God is above. Israel worshipped the other gods, and they learned the hard way. The concept of belonging to God is lost on Israel. The concept of trusting in God for everything. We know that among those captives, there were many good people, believers, redeemed believers, penitent believers. They were mixed with the people that were kidnapped by Nebuchadnezzar. You might not think of yourself as captive, but to a certain extent, we all are captives here. This life is no picnic at times. Things get tough, and we suffer, sometimes for our own fault, and sometimes for the fault of the society in which we live. Things are not perfect. So we yearn for a perfect situation. And to us, God says, fear not. Be still and know that I am God. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. If you are bound for heaven, to say we have Abraham as our father is not good enough. To claim Abraham's blood is only good enough if this life is your only objective. But if you're shooting for heaven, only the blood of Christ will make a difference. He is the one whose blood sets us free from all iniquity. In his blood, we are washed and become white, whiter than hyssop. So we walk every day in this life by faith, knowing that God will provide without fear and without doubting. You might not think of it, but fear, doubting God's providence, is a sin classified much worse than any sin of the flesh. Sexual aberrations and immorality pales in comparison to the sins of the spirit, fear, worry, doubt that God will help or can help. So enabled by God, we go through life conquering all things. There is no obstacle that we cannot conquer when we are arm in arm with our God. There is no situation which is lost. We live in this captivity, but we know that one day we will be set free. Unlimited power of holy baptism is shown here. When it provides for our daily needs in this life and guarantees eternal life after this life is done. So since God eliminated fear and death from our life, what should we think about or do? We should all focus on living our life in service to one another, just as He commanded us to do, just as He enabled us to do. And there is no higher way of serving one another than to reflect our faith in all things that we do and say, and as we proclaim Christ throughout the whole world. We are God's children, members of His family. Do you think that He will neglect us? Our Father will forget us? I don't think so. He disciplines us out of love, that is true, but the children of Israel experienced that discipline. Some believed, and some still don't. My dear Father in heaven will not overlook any of the daily needs that I have, nor yours. Think about that and talk about it to everyone you know. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. I would like now